Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
To start things off, I do want to take this moment to wish all of our veterans a very happy Veterans Day and say thank you from the bottom of our heart for your service.
Yes, so, right. Especially these two in the room with us.
Absolutely.
I love these
guess
men.
Guess what I did at 10 o'clock?
This morning?
Yeah.
Oh.
I went.
I have no idea.
No.
I was going to tell you how much I love you, but go ahead.
Grant Taylor took me over, and we gave a veteran a brand new house.
Oh, that's awesome.
What?
And it was, yeah. Yeah.
A house?
Yeah.
That's him and his wife.
Kevin and Jennifer is their name.
Awesome.
Then they was in Texas. They moved here, and I wish I remember who built it, but they built them a house. And just gave it to him today.
That's what's up. Hey, look, for that one, hit that bell. Look at that.
There you go, boys.
I'll take that.
Yeah. But anyway, it was really good, you know, everybody. So even the man that was in charge of the veterans from our governor come up, you know.
Good.
You know.
That's awesome.
And spoke. So it was cool. It really was.
Well, one thing for sure, we don't ever repay that debt. So, you know. Thank y'all from the bottom of our heart. Happy Veterans Day to the veterans and their families. And, let's get into it.
That's it.
Stone.
Well.
I hear you've got a new house guest, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we had a little action, I guess you'd say, at the house. You know, my wife, she's a little jumpy. She
hates a snake. I know that.
So, you know, Bullfrog has been known to be a sort of a trickster of sorts.
You know, she hung around with Willie too much.
We all know who she hangs around with, and it ain't Willie. But my youngest daughter, Sage, she takes jiu-jitsu. She's 7. So I bought her this grappling dummy because she keeps trying her moves out, her chokes and submissions on her little cousins. And that hadn't gone over too well.
She's winning the fights though, isn't she?
I tell the other kids, I said, look, y'all got to learn how to defend and escape before you can do anything. You know, just sit there and get choked out. She'll choke until they tap, you know.
And if they don't tap, they're going to pass out.
Well, that's right. Well, she ain't quite strong enough for that.
Stay away from that house.
So anyway, I told the wife, I said, I'm going to get one of them. Little grappling dummies. I don't know. Have y'all ever seen one of those things?
No, you need to bring
it. See if you can find a picture of one.
You need to bring it.
Johnny D.
So I can get a picture of it.
So.
Visual. Oh, okay.
Like this?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. It looks just like that. Got a target on his head. You know, that's what he looks like.
So I like that.
You stuff him with clothes and towels or whatever. But anyways.
There's a scarecrow.
Yeah. So you practice your submissions and chokes and stuff on him instead of other humans.
On the kid.
A lot safer.
Instead of terrorizing the neighborhood kids.
That's right. So I bought one of those things, and Bullfrog named him Jimmy Dawn.
Old Jimmy Dawn from Calhoun.
She said Jimmy Dawn.
D-A-W-N,
not D-O-N. Anyways, old Jimmy Dawn, he done took a butt whooping, son. I'm talking about he has been beat and choked and submitted. So, anyways, I was sitting in the living room, and I hear my wife just let out a scream. Hollering, then she gets to, I'm talking about, she's hollering. And she don't ever holler.
Man is very cool all the time.
Yeah. So I go in there and she's, somebody's in the bathroom. I open the door to the bathroom, and there's old Jimmy Dawn sitting on the toilet. And that door is close quarters, you know. So you open that door, it's right there in your face. And Bullfrog was hiding around the corner. She was laying down on the floor laughing. She was doing one of them laughs like you talking about that don't make no sound.
Yeah.
She was. And she said, I thought Daddy was going to be the one to open the door, but that's even better. But anyways, old Jimmy Dawn just scared the ever-loving out of my wife.
Oh, boy, I can't wait to talk to Dan about
because I can't imagine Anna yelling.
Oh, she screamed top of her lungs.
Oh, no.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, but I told Bullfrog, I said, well, you got to be careful, see, because your mama just had one of them bidets installed.
I converted another.
You didn't convert me.
I got the Stone family.
Oh, boy.
So my wife went to visit her cousin over at one of them dashers, and they had one of them sprayers.
All I'm saying is, it's not just for you. It is for your lady as well.
But, so when you sit on it, it's got a sensor.
Heated seat, baby.
It heats up the toilet seat.
You need one, side.
That's the last thing I need.
No, see, because look, why would you want, there's nothing, I've never once sat down on a toilet and wished it was warm. Because if it was warm,
you know,
there was a problem.
That's because you've never sat on a warm toilet. Yeah.
No, I have.
It's better.
And I stuck to it. Like, I've sat on a warm toilet. It's not good. Like, that makes me cringe. See, part of the deal that makes you go quick, your butt hits that seat and it's cold. You're out of there.
You ready to get up.
Boom.
I will say, my wife had the heat up way too high at one point on ours, and it wasn't pleasant. It was too hot.
And that encourages you sitting there even longer.
You got
longer.
Scalded.
Yeah.
No, see, that encourages a warm, a longer seating experience. Which,
yeah, I was thinking that because, hey, this
I think
is,
Preparation
this is
H must have designed that.
Leisure time.
No.
Okay.
The longer you sit there to work, the bigger chance you got for hemorrhoids. Everybody know that.
That's right.
But that's where I get most of my work done. Most of the emails read on this show.
Which is why I don't ask to ever use your phone.
While the bidet is going?
Just the heated seat.
Oh, okay.
Just early in the morning, I wake up, I do some stretches, go outside, hit the punching bag, go sit on the toilet, weigh myself first,
sweat, then sit on the toilet. Keep doing that.
And then weigh myself after, just for fun, see how much weight
I can lose. That's too much. Once a day is plenty. But anyways, I told Bullfrog, I said, you got to be careful putting old Jimmy Dawn on that. on that bidet seat, because that sensor would make that seat hot. You know, Jimmy Dawn made out of cloth, you know.
He liable to catch fire.
Old Jimmy Dawn burned up.
Burned the house down, you know.
That is funny.
It was something now. I ain't seen that since that time the snake got in the house.
You had a snake in your house?
Yeah.
Ooh.
We had one in the warehouse one time. Anna left for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't come back.
She said, she almost quit.
Yeah. I ain't working.
In this warehouse?
The one down the street?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. She left for 3 days. She couldn't handle it.
No.
She said, every time I pull back up here, I thought I was going to open that door. That snake was. She just didn't leave.
If she saw a snake on the TV, she'd get up and leave.
She
looked
jumpy.
I agree with that, though.
Well, there was
a snake in the tour, and I just went and stood on a table until Martin came and got it.
Yeah, that's a true statement, too.
Just in case.
Yeah.
I wasn't told nobody that.
I'm fine. Everybody knew that about me anyway.
I think we put it on Instagram anyway.
So yeah. Did
you? Yeah, it's been out there. I guess Anna doesn't watch Yellowstone then, huh?
Oh, that's one of her favorite shows. It's a crude show.
What'd she do last night when they threw that old rattlesnake on that boy's face?
They got a new season already?
Uh-huh. Started last night.
Spoiler alert.
Did he bite him?
For what?
Did he bite him?
They have spent $100 million on marketing letting you know that November 7th was the day it was coming back.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that there was going to be a – I don't watch that show. I got enough of it.
No, that's fake.
I watched a couple episodes, and I was like, I don't get it.
I like it.
I'm different, though.
What do you mean? It's Game of Thrones set in Montana.
I didn't watch no Game of Thrones.
You didn't? Yeah, you did. Shut up. Get out of here.
This is a Christian show, sir.
Yeah.
He's pulling your leg.
Yeah. I ain't pulling nobody's leg.
I watched the Saints get beat by the Falcons yesterday, and that was all I watched.
You probably ought to get used to that for the rest of this year.
I watched the Chiefs beat the Packers.
There you go.
The Chiefs.
Pitiful game.
Beat the Packers.
It was a pitiful
game.
Well, you know what? I don't watch any kind of ball playing.
Ball playing.
Any type.
You know what?
Unless you went 15-0, Stone said, I'm out. It won't get no better than this right here. I'm out.
And then when everybody started taking a knee, I said, no, sir.
He gone.
I'll never watch again.
I did quote you the other night. Allison was like, are you going to watch the football game? I didn't even know who was playing. I said, nah, I quit watching ball playing of any sorts yesterday. then I got back on it for the Saints, and I was like,
no, but that old Jimmy Dawn episode, that was that
yeah,
was
I need
good
to
one.
Borrow that.
And then my friend's little girl, old nurseman's little girl, before I was telling the story, and she said, yeah, I put old Jimmy Dawn on Mama's bidet. It scared her half to death. She hollered and screamed. And that little girl said, well, what's a bidet? She said, oh, that's just something sprays water up your butt and Mama got. And she said, dude, what?
You're very clean. It's a cleanliness factor, hey, Mark.
Stone, you didn't have a male child, but you do have a middle son. I'll give you
that. Oh, I know it. Boy, she's something else. She's funny. She got that Robertson stuff. Blood is strong.
Yeah. Hard to get it out.
Well,
of
you know what? Veterans make all that possible for us to have grappling dummies and throw them and scare your mama and all.
Just
that.
Wondering where you were going with that.
That's what I'm saying. Look, if you didn't have that, it wouldn't be a free world. And you wouldn't be able to do stuff like that to your mama. So thank you, veterans. Let's take our first break. We'll be back right after. Oh, I got that.
It's Veterans Day, Si.
I know.
It's Veterans Day. We're celebrating veterans. Yep. Now, I remember, you know, when I was growing up, I don't remember a whole lot about my early childhood, but I remember my Papa Stone was a hard man. World War II vet.
The greatest generation.
He was in the Army. He was a grunt. Infantry. He was on the second wave on D-Day at Normandy. And, well, I tell you, he didn't like talking about it. He talked about it one time. I worked with him construction one summer. He used to run a motor grader, and he told me the story, and it was really something. He literally lost every friend he had over there. Mm-hmm. It got so cold, his toenails froze off, his fingernails froze off. He lost all of his sense of taste and smell over there. Got hit with some shrapnel. But you never heard him complain about any of it. All he did was put his nose to the grindstone and work hard. And he expected everybody around him to do the same.
Yep.
And I firmly believe 100% that's where I get my work ethic. I get up. You know, 4:30, 5 o'clock every morning, and I get after it, and I got that from him, and that the greatest generation of all time, no doubt about it. And most people don't really understand the concept, especially these days. The human race is trending towards entitlement as opposed to
earning it.
Yep. I had a good conversation about that this morning.
Yep.
The difference between deserve and earn.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You deserve what you earn.
Yeah.
Period.
You got to have one to have the other.
You're not entitled to anything.
That's right.
Maybe life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that's in the United States. So if you don't get out and work for it, you don't deserve it, period, in my humble opinion. So, and if you have ever been a part of the military, you know that to be true. You're not given anything, ever. So, that's just one of them deals. Like, what's that old guy you said, Earl Pitt, said, what makes me so angry? Mm-hmm. What scalds my hide is when people feel like they're entitled to anything. Anything. So get out and earn it.
Bust your booty.
That's it. Hustle. Get after it.
Since you brought that up, there, that brought me to mind Mama's younger brother, John. Okay. He was in the Korean War.
Hmm.
Okay. And he had a jar sitting on the mantle that was slammed full of shrapnel from whatever blew up and, you know. You talk, when you look at something like just, it was jagged, you know, and think about, well, they took that out of my mother's brother.
Hmm.
Yeah, just and he fell in love with a Korean woman. Okay, and one of the stories he told me, like you said, most of them didn't talk about it, but he just had it, I guess, on his heart and shared it and said he was a machine gunner, okay? And he woke up, and she was, yes, cutting them down.
Hmm.
They was making a charge. He would just, he had passed out just from fatigue. Yeah. So, you know, that's one of them things, you know.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine.
No.
What those guys go. And, you know, and even, you know, in Afghanistan, it was uncomfortable. It was, I would say, hairy is a good word. There were landmines. There was an opposing force, so to speak, but they were more just sneak attacks. They'd launch an RPG over the HESCO every now and then. That it wasn't warfare, trench warfare, like what was going on in World War II and Vietnam, and so I couldn't comprehend what those vets back in those days had to go through. It's just not comprehensible to me, and for people to not appreciate that, and
well.
It's almost overwhelming to me when somebody talks down to a veteran, or you know there's some guys on social media right now that are ex Navy SEALs that I'm talking about, the one percenters, the best of all of us.
You have
pieces of trash on the internet just trashing them. Over and over and over, and nothing makes me madder than somebody talking down to a veteran. It's just inconceivable to me.
I'll give you an example. My brother Phil, in my whole career, I would always take 30 days, and normally I'd come in and spend a little time with mom and dad, and then especially when they was living down on the river with Phil, and then I'd spend the rest of it, you know, with my brother. And he never said anything to me about it, one way or the other. I don't remember, I think he was, someone had asked him to go overseas. So he got to go to Omaha Beach, all these places.
Yeah, okay. I remember that. He did that for that documentary he did.
Okay, but anyway, and he actually went to where the Hitler gassed the Jews and everything.
Mm-hmm. Auschwitz.
Well, when he come back, he told us a little bit about his trip. And he said when he was on the beach, he said he went both places. He went up on where the Germans were at, okay, and then turned around and went down and got on the beach. And that's the first time he's ever said, he said, I've never said anything to you before. He said, but now I've just realized something after I've been where all this happened.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I thank you very much for you, sir, your service.
Yeah.
He said, because it never got in my mind what you go through.
Yeah.
He said, because now that I've actually stood where on D-Day, where our men landed.
Yeah. I've stood there.
I can't even imagine. People, look, that was one of the things that the whole time I was in Germany, and I got chill bumps all over me. The whole time I was in Germany, all of my friends were telling me, all of my comrades, oh, you need to go behind the Iron Curtain. And I never did put it together why I always said no. So I go to Oklahoma. I was asked to speak to a prisoner by a buddy of mine up there, okay? So this, and here's the weirdest thing about it. It's the 4th of July weekend. So we go in the sheriff's office, okay, in the jail, okay, And I'm looking at all these people they've got incarcerated. So we preached the gospel to this guy, and he just blew us off, okay? But he got in my face when I was talking to him, and he said, you got plenty of money. You should be hiring me a lawyer and get me out of here. I'm innocent. Yeah. And I said, I saw that same movie, yeah. I said, hey, you're in denial. Okay, so I talked to this guy, and that's when I realized why I always told them, I don't need to go to the Iron Curtain, okay, because I don't want to go anywhere that someone else has got the key to the gate to lock me in, because I appreciate my freedom too much. Mm-hmm. That's why I never went, because this hit me, you know, when we're talking about this, when Phil had told me, appreciate your service, and it, you know, it took 20 years for me to realize, okay, what all you did do, okay. Yeah, so, you know, my hat's off to all of those that have wore our nation's uniform.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I've said it before, making a video for Memorial Day and all this, you know, you are my heroes, okay? And I actually served, okay? But I didn't serve to the point that most of our guys, like the Navy SEALs, Green Beret, all them guys do, mm-hmm. okay? I was very, God bless me very much to keep me out of that, I guess.
Well, I don't think you were physically qualified for that.
Well, I may not have been mentally qualified for it. Okay.
That's awesome. Well, let's take another break. We'll be back.
Could you imagine Si going through Bud's?
Nope.
No, I'm still stunned.
I'm
still stunned. He had classified clear.
I did. During the night that they have machine guns set about 3 foot high.
Oh, yeah.
And they're firing, and you're crawling through barbed wire and all this junk.
I couldn't.
And stuff are blowing up all around.
Every third rail's a tracer.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. And I'm seeing guys that's got their butts up in the air. And the drill sergeant said, if you don't get it down, you're going to get shot off.
I can't comprehend.
Because, hey, that machine gun was lying around, boys. Yeah.
Well, when I did it, it was blanks.
I know.
It was blanks for you? They shot live rounds?
They shot live rounds over me. So,
when I was 19.
Hey, there was stuff blowing up, and had pits, okay, with sandbags. And one idiot crawled over the sandbags and got in the pit that was blowing up.
Whoa.
Oh, no.
It was dark.
Oh, no, yeah. No, and this is at night. You know, the drill sergeant run over and jumped on him and yanked him out of there. You idiot, you think you're blown up, dummy?
You big dummy?
Yeah, I'll just say, I said that I made it to the beach at Normandy, and I was 19 when I was there, and that's the first time it really hit me as an adult, like what some people had done for me as an American my freedom. Yeah. And you watch a movie, you see, like, and you think about it. That beach is that's not Gulf Shores, Alabama. And at 19, I was sitting there. I was like, "How could you get? It's a pasture. It's not it's huge." And you could see the where they were shooting them from. What's that called?
The gun emplacements.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like,
on the cliff.
I felt sick to my stomach because I mean, all the dudes that did that for me were 19, 18, 20 years old. And
kept going.
And it never comprehended, like, in my head till I was there. And I said, oh, shoot.
Well, that's what I thought, like, Saving Private Ryan did such a good job at capturing was that point of. I mean, you're looking at him, you're like, wait, now do what?
How did they do
y'all it? Y'all ran. I mean, you learned about it in history class and all that.
Yeah, but it ain't.
The textbooks didn't make it real until that movie came out. And then you're like, wait, they did that? Huh?
It doesn't make any
How way. In the world were you not headed the other way? Like,
I just swam the other direction. Just
being honest, me, I was in the military, and I never was really put to the test. I may have been marked a coward. I'm just being honest, okay? Because look, when I watch it, like you talking about, when I watch Private Ryan,
yeah,
okay. I'm just saying when they dropped the ramp on them beach machines.
Mm. Oh, it's unbelievable.
And, you know, and the enemy starts.
And they go forward.
Yeah.
Ain't none of them going backwards. They all going forward.
That's the greatest generation.
That's why. Okay. I'm serious.
Nowadays, 122 shot and everybody runs.
There's a balloon pops and everybody runs. Yeah. Now, my papaw turned 18 during World War II and ended up, he never told me any stories. There was some stuff in his house, like a Nazi knife and things. And I was I would ask questions and he would avoid it just completely. But he did write some stuff, and I got to read that later in life. But, you know, he never told the stories of what happened. But I couldn't imagine being 18 on a farm in Rocky Branch and then a year later dropping bombs in Germany from a B-26.
That's the same way my grandfather was, but he never talked about it. But I say this, when he come back from over there, he became a preacher. For what that's worth.
So did
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, whatever he saw over there, he said, no, boys, that ain't it. Mm-hmm. Like, there's got to be a way out of here.
Well, George Franklin, when Phil was trying to preach the gospel to him, he said, I already know Jesus. He said, I was a bottom gunner on the B-27 bomber. You know, and all it is a plastic bubble under the ship with machine guns on it. Mm. You know, he said, oh, I know about Jesus. Trust me. Okay. Yeah. But
you don't get out in that thing without some kind of faith, do you?
Mm. Oh, no. See, that I just, you know, my goodness. Yeah. Mm. That's why on Memorial Day, I can't watch television. They rerun all the wars, you know, and stuff. And I know it's filmed, okay? But because stuff like that really happened.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And that's why when you said the generation, greatest generation, you gotta think about it. Okay. Hitler's on the move and he's destroying everybody and killing everybody, and we finally get involved in it, and when we did, and like you said, all the people then were farmers.
Mm-hmm.
They all went to the draft board or the draft, wherever office it was, and volunteered. Then they got on anything that would float.
And gone.
And crossed the ocean.
No questions
asked. To die for people they've never known.
Yeah.
That's it.
To give them freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, and then like Stone said, when somebody gets to run their mouth on one that served.
Hmm.
You're living dangerous, dude.
But that's why you always...
Because if they run up on you, okay, they'll kill you, and I wouldn't blame them.
But then you have news like you had last week with, Black Rifle Coffee Company, which nobody's familiar with them. I'm familiar with them because they're all veterans. Veteran-owned coffee company went public last week, right smack in the face of cancel culture and everything else, and got paid. And I'm talking about got paid, and good for them, because it's fun to see when veterans win.
That's right.
Because so much in this world,
they
don't win. It's a lose-lose proposition a lot of times for a veteran, especially these days. So when you see a group of them that give back to their own veterans, go out there and win and get paid, I own Black Rifle Coffee Company stock.
Thank you.
And you know what? I don't drink coffee. But when I saw the news, I said, absolutely.
That's
support
right.
It 100%. Let's
That's
roll.
Right. Buy veteran owned.
Yeah.
As much as you can.
Just like the hat you're wearing, our friends over at Nine Line that we did that little deal with. Great veteran company.
Yep.
That walks the walk, talks the talk, all those good things for giving back. You know, and we do a lot ourselves. As far as hosting hunts, Stone's done a few of them. But we've done them before. Hosting hunts for veterans were a cool thing to do. I mean, I remember my first year here, we hosted a bunch of veterans for a hunt with our friends at Benelli. So, you know, and we give back every year to the Freedom Hunters organization that Benelli helps sponsor and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we like to take care of those that take care of us. I just wish there were more people that would think that way.
Well, yeah, and when they're in the Army, they're very fairly compensated.
That's yeah. That's just a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we've been over that.
Yeah.
No, yeah, they deserve way more. And so when they get out, it is awesome to see them succeed.
See them right. win, yeah. That's, you know, and we've hung out with some of the toughest of the tough.
I was in a room one time. I said, I'm good, boys. I mean, I'm the bottom of the totem pole, but
yeah,
I'm going to make it for a long time.
You're in the safest place on earth.
In yeah. America.
I'll take my chances right here.
Yeah, with them boys.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff.
No, that's for sure, man. That's cool, though. And those, you know. Yeah.
So I'm reading my papaw. He wrote this big thing up, and I never even got this till after he had passed, so I never got to ask him about it. But when he got into the Army, he was making $12 a month.
Hmm.
Mm-mm. Never see another poor day.
What year was that?
1944.
Wow.
And he was fired up because he had got a raise, and so he went to Germany on that.
Sign me up, boy.
$12 a month.
That's unbelievable.
So, I mean, just to think of that generation and our current generation, those guys, it takes a special person.
That's insane. $12 a month?
A month. You can't even go to the truck stop and get out of there for less than $12.
I bought a $15 bag of beef jerky yesterday.
Whoa.
That's what I'm saying.
With gas prices, you can't even get to my house for $12 at this point.
What are you talking about? Mm. I'm just saying, it wasn't too long ago, it was $1.15 a gallon.
Oh, boy. We're going to start cheering for Brandon in the comments again.
Here we go. Hey, look, well, let's go find Brandon. Maybe he's in the comments. We'll be back right after this.
Started on them gas prices, boys.
Oh, I remember what it was now about faith of our father.
Well, go
you
ahead.
You was talking about how young when he was 18,
mm-hmm.
your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I talked about that on Faith of Our Fathers when they was interviewing me.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not being detrimental when I say this, but most of the people that went to Vietnam were kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, 18, 19. Yeah, you know, we had company commanders, 21 years old, that was sending people out to die.
Yeah.
Okay, how would you like to be in that guy's shoes?
Well, how would you like to know today a bunch of the 18-year-olds that's coming out of this country now was headed over? I'd be like, boy, we in trouble.
There's good ones out there.
There's a few of them.
Oh, yeah. I've run into a few.
There's a few of them.
But the percentage is much lower than it used to be.
But it goes back to what we was talking about, that entitlement mess.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't get me started. There was a young group of hellions in the honey hole on Saturday.
I was just excited. Tearing stuff. I ain't even signed in on this because if I do, I'll get mad.
Oh, it's aggravating.
I'm actually.
We don't want to see you get mad.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of do.
No,
I've seen you mad.
The good
a
book,
times.
The Bible says, "Hey, if he won't work, don't feed him."
There you go.
That'll preach.
If he don't work,
that'll preach.
He don't eat.
That's all I got to say about the matter.
Pilgrims did it too.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
You don't work, you starve.
That's right. Hey.
Can I say, that's a side note. That is one of my favorite quotes from Duck Dynasty ever.
What's that?
When Phil said, all these kids these days, we'll just live on love. We love each other. We'll live on love. Nope, you'll starve.
Nope. You're going to die because you're going to starve.
And that is all. When people ask me, like, one of my favorite Duck Dynasty moments, you'll starve.
Well, this is a veteran today, so I'll tell you mine. You kids ever heard of Nom? When it cuts to Si's face, have you kids ever heard of Nom?
No, I got.
And then it cuts back to them kids, and they're like,
No. Jace watched that. Jace watched that. Him and Willie, and he said, I can't believe you talk like that in front of them kids. And I laughed, and I said, Jason, I had a green screen behind me. I said, the kids were not sitting there.
You tell this story every time, and that is just not true.
What do you mean it's not true?
My cousin was in the room. Her name's...
Uh-oh.
I ain't gonna say no more.
Aslan, that was weird.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because it was Bella's class, right?
It was Bella's class.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they all talk about it to this day.
Yeah. Bengal tiger ripped one's arm off.
No, he didn't. He grabbed him right here.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Now he's got it. Now he's got a gunshot wound and a bite mark or something.
He was shot through the right ear. Didn't get the lung. Just through the shoulder.
High shoulder shot.
Okay. They'd lead him. The medic had bandaged him up. You know, gave him some morphine for pain. And all that. Leaned him against a tree. They hear him holler and look around, and there's a Bengal tiger that's got him on the bad shoulder, dragging him off.
Well, he didn't want to get the good shoulder.
Is that true?
That's true. I'm serious. Y'all didn't even let me finish it because Jay said, he said, I can't believe you talk like that in front of the kid.
Oh
that's
man.
Fantastic. Yeah. I loved it.
They brought the kids in later, and then the director would say, hey, I want you to give me your most shocked look.
Yeah.
And they'd do it, and they'd film it.
Isn't reality TV grand, folks?
Mm-hmm. It's wonderful.
I guess I was just ripping down all the walls now. What else you want to expose?
So I said, that was fake.
Yeah.
All of it.
Yeah. It's all TV, boys.
I didn't mean to get it to there, but I still, when we watched that premiere of that thing,
ever heard a knock?
It was just a tight on size face. You kids ever heard a knock?
We're going to watch it in the break.
I about TT'd my pants. I'm here to tell you. That was always my favorite part, though, was watching the stuff you weren't a part of.
AKA Cy.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but I just heard about it.
When Cy watched like three episodes. When we had those premiere parties, he would come over because it's a free meal.
Yeah. Yeah, I just come for the meal. I didn't really watch it. No. I'm serious.
I sat with you most of them.
Look, yo, the best part was when Phil cleaned the wood duck.
Oh, yeah. Had it over that Bunsen burner.
That was the same episode.
Yeah, same
episode.
I know.
Was that
but
on
hey,
the
I just got so tickled at it. Well, that was live. They filmed that as was, okay?
You heard that squishing of the guts coming out? That was fantastic.
Acorns.
Agern. See that?
I will say he could probably give a better biology lesson.
Hey, it'd have been a better one if we just killed him full of peanuts, and Phil could pull the peanut out of one's mouth and eat it.
Oh, gross!
Because he did that before sitting on the bank.
Yeah.
He said, "Look here, boys." He squeezed it out of his mouth and then broke it open and ate it. He said, pretty good. There's blood all over it and everything else.
See, there was the greatest generation. And then there's whatever's wrong with whatever you and Phil are, because that's the grossest thing I've ever
heard.
Then
there's the hungriest generation.
Yeah. I ain't ate a drop of food today. You couldn't pay me to eat that peanut.
Well, hey, here's the thing. Me and Phil have got you talking about a stout immune system, son. We've got it.
Yeah. It's true.
Because we run barefooted all our lives.
Could you walk 10 foot barefooted now?
No. Look, I'm serious. Look here. You could get a mason jar, throw it down on the concrete and shatter it. Our feet were so tough when we was kids, I could just walk over it. Wouldn't cut me.
And now you step on a pebble.
Hey, look, hey, if I step on anything, that's
he's gotten soft in his old age, ladies and gentlemen.
And if he raises the lid on the ice chest, his rib will pop.
Oh, yeah. That was the craziest thing. I broke two ribs putting a crappie in a cooler.
Hey, same thing happened to Bill Jordan, too, when he's reaching over to crank his truck to roll his windows up and do it from the passenger side, leaned over the console like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you move wrong, you can injure yourself badly.
Especially when you get to y'all's
house. Here's the stupid thing about all this.
Can't wait.
About that rib breaking.
Let's hear it.
I suffered for 3 days with someone sticking a knife in me every time I moved. My wife kept saying, go to the doctor. Go to the doctor.
I ain't doing it.
I don't like doctors. Well, I didn't know they had a shot that would just get rid of the pain. I went to the doctor and finally, and I just couldn't stand the pain. I went to the doctor, nurse said, drop your jaw and bend over. Pow! popped me in the butt with a shot, and I went, oh, my God, thank you.
Well, you went for about 10 years there with no doctor's visit because you had to lie in it. Last time I went, they cracked my chest open.
That's it. Yeah. Hey,
and he wouldn't even go for a cold. He wouldn't go get a shot, like a steroid shot, just to get rid of a cold.
Well, hey, I wasn't, I ain't into drugs. But, hey,
I don't
anymore.
Do drugs.
I don't use drugs, but, hey, look, if I'm in pain, go ahead and drug me.
We all reach that stage at some point.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. If ibuprofen won't touch it, give me something else.
Oh, no, no, no. When I walked out and got in the car, I looked at my wife and I said, hey, if you ever let me be that stupid again, I'm going to divorce you.
After 50 years.
After 50 years.
If you ever let me go to the doctor again?
If you ever let me be that dumb and not go to the doctor.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And see, you fought Stone when he was trying to take you to the doctor.
I tried the same thing. Yeah, I said, we're going to the doctor.
He was
going to
divorce you, Stone.
I was in my underwear, and Stone just said like this, oh, man, you got two choices here. You can go as you are, or I'll let you put your clothes on, but you're going. Because I'm going to grab you and throw you over my shoulder.
I'm going to throw you in the truck.
Yeah, and I
with
looked
or without your drawers on.
I looked at him like that, and I said, okay, I'll go put my clothes on. Because all he was doing, he said,
true friendship.
That's a true friend.
Sometimes you got to.
But I was used to that hard-headedness because I'm married to a Roberts. Mm-hmm. So there's only one way to handle them.
Stone knows tough love.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen, okay? If you don't, I'm going to pick you up and throw you in the truck.
Well, let's take our last break, and we'll come back and get in that inbox right after this.
Get in that inbox. I'm ready when you are. All right,
we're back. Hello@duckcallroom.com is the inbox. Johnny D, where we at? What we got?
Sorry, my mic.
Who wants to learn something?
How do you like your eggs, Si? From Shelly in Lander, Pennsylvania.
Over easy.
Over easy.
Okay.
With about 6 pieces of toast and some jelly. And 2 or 3 sausages.
There you go.
What a kind of... That's breakfast and lunch.
No, that's just a good breakfast, son. Matter of fact, hey, that's what I had at my Tim Alexander's house. A couple of over easy eggs. Some bacon. And some sausage. And it was deer sausage.
Cousin Tim. Yeah. We learned about Cousin Tim before we started. I didn't know there was a Cousin Tim. And then here's a one that we can probably end on this one. Lizzie Ann from Seattle.
They're sleepless in Seattle. That's what I know about Seattle.
I don't know
sleepless.
Nothing about Seattle. Martin, you mentioned back in your heathen days.
Uh-oh.
Guilty. They're bringing up Martin's
guilty.
Heathen days?
Guilty.
He's got one word to say.
Hold
guilty.
On a second. Phil is calling in.
Uh-oh.
Phil Robertson?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I won't say
well, hey, we'll
I
pose gotta, this question I, for him.
Yeah.
Phil, back in your heathen days.
Oh, his... Well documented what he would say.
I missed his call now, and I'm calling him back.
Okay.
Pump's on, back online.
Oh.
The pump is back on?
Back on wide open. I mean, one little part there, $500, but I mean, that old Jersey Joe was the one that diagnosed it, said, this is the part you need. He looked on his computer, pushed a few buttons. He said, this part right here, you need this right here. And I said, are you serious? I said, can you get a hold of John Deere and tell him that? He brought the John Deere man with him, the technician, but Jersey Joe was correct. That's the part he needed.
Yeah.
The little valve in there, you know, that gives you fuel pressure. But you know, that old guy said, boy, that saved a lot of time since you told me what the problem was. That Jersey Joe, that sucker's got a head on his shoulders.
Jersey Joe, boys.
So Phil, by the way, you're live on the podcast over here, what Al calls the Kitty Podcast.
Tell the whole bunch we got water going into the hole. I saved them by the skin of my teeth, but I needed a computer buff, and I've never turned on a computer. That's the problem.
Hey, Phil, we're about out of money for diesel.
I'm telling you, the bills keep adding up. Old Willie and Jace, they're all ready to go, but I never get a check for them suckers.
Don't worry, I get your invoice. It's fine.
All right, keep it going, boys. We got water going in the hole.
Any ducks down there?
No.
Any ducks down there?
No.
In case you're wondering how real is Phil Robertson, Jersey Joe had a computer and just fixed all the problems.
And that boy's got a head on his shoulders, boys.
Yeah. That sucker's slick now. I'm telling you.
Gotta have him.
That was
Jersey
amazing.
Joe.
I don't even know where to go from there. But anyway, Lizzie Ann, not Jersey Joe, from Seattle, was mentioned Martin's heathen days.
Preach. Guilty.
And Phil M. talked, McMillions talked about his a little before, his heathen days, and Godwin. Is it too serious to ask? I don't know why she singled us out. JD, Jay, and Justin.
Wait, what? I already talked.
What? No, that's not what it is.
Oh.
About the adult decision to follow Jesus. Like, why and when, I guess?
Now. Right now.
Yeah.
Why? No, you did it long before.
Why? Well, she's asking, asking why and when I did it?
So you moved along in life.
Oh, I thought she was, like, trying to figure out, should I do it now? Yes.
No. She's asking about, like, you said when, back in your heathen days. Yeah.
When did you turn to it?
What was the...
I'll do the short story of that.
Yeah, just
I
a
was
quick
working,
version.
I was working here, Duck Commander.
Yeah.
I come in here every day. Well, I wasn't working here. We weren't in here. We were in the metal building down at Phil and Kate's. I was working with Si when he was awake. Goblin, who was always in a panic.
Yeah.
And Jace, who never panicked about anything. Yeah. But I'm looking at him, but every day I showed up, they're smiling, they're laughing. Now, Jace got a little negative in him even back in. But he was still smiling and overall jovial. Yeah.
Overall jovial.
Okay. Yeah. Right. But I look, but every day I come in, some days I'd come in, my head hurt a little bit. Context clues, right. Use it for what you want. Right.
From the night before?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But, or I just come in kind of mad, like, I don't know why, I'm just not happy, you know, whatever. But I'm looking at these guys and I never saw that out of them.
And you were a church kid.
Yeah, I was. I was 100%. Born and raised in church. But I started with my biologist background trying to figure out what the difference was between me and them. So I started checking off things about our life. Well, we spent basically 24/7 together because, I mean, that place down there when we worked at the river was like Hotel California. You didn't leave there till everything was done because you knew it was an hour back, like if something was wrong. So we worked together. We was all making about the same money. Working the same hours, we hunted for a living, in theory. We did all this, but the only difference I came to, I finally come down, I said, well, them three have accepted Jesus, and I haven't. Could that be it? So finally, I asked Jace Robertson, I said, hey, I need to learn more. And Jace said, well, I was wondering when you was going to ask.
that's a real Jace answer.
I said, you punk, you was gonna let me sit over here? And he said you was one of them smart ones. If I tried to preach it to you, you wouldn't go hear it.
Yeah.
He said, am I right? I said, yeah, you're probably right. I said, but now here, I'm ready to learn. So there we went into it, and you know, next thing I know, about 6, 7, 8 months later, I was baptized. So yeah, no, it was a godsend from the good Lord to be working at Duck Commander is what got me into that.
What was that lady's name?
Lizzie Ann.
Lizzie, great question, okay, because you just heard some great stuff right there.
Really? Mother's Day 2011 is when it was. When I got baptized, Mother's Day 2011.
And then all of a sudden there was a little peace of mind.
Oh, no. I tell everybody I go. That night was best night's sleep I ever got in my life. Because I did not care if I woke up. For the first time in my life, I wasn't worried about waking up. Because where I go is better than where I'm going to wake up.
Folks, what that should tell y'all is, okay, he was watching, okay, and it doesn't make any difference who it was that he, but he's questioning himself, okay, what's the difference between us four here? They're always laughing and having a good time, and here I am. I should be same way, but I'm not.
Yeah.
So what's the problem here?
What's the difference? I just started checking boxes.
No.
I started making
a list. That's a cool way to – I like the way you explain that.
Well, thank you. You're one of the ones that got me there,
son.
You didn't even know you did.
Well, the point of this whole thing that I'm trying to make is, hey, one person can make a difference.
Amen.
And just their actions.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't have to beat me over the head with a Bible to do it either.
Yeah.
You know?
And Jason was right.
Yeah.
Okay, you can't force people to turn to Jesus.
Yep.
Okay, it's got to be their choice.
100%.
Okay, but you can influence them. That's what I was talking about here. Here's the important part of this. One person can influence you to change your whole lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay. Before I started here, I was a dead man walking, son.
Yeah. Which is fantastic.
Tell you that right now.
Which is fantastic when you get right down to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
So, hey, you don't realize how important you are.
That's it.
That's the point.
Somebody's watching.
Somebody's watching. That's it.
Be aware.
Somebody, so, hey, shine your light.
Somebody's listening to you bang on the table singing Golden Earring at the top of your lungs
right.
every day.
Hey. Oh, hey.
On LA 105.3.
You got to be careful when you're singing, boys. They're always watching.
Amen to that. Well, Stone, we might have to get to ours at a later podcast. Are we out of time, yeah. Martin? You're in charge here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. There's not a quick way to answer that. See,
yeah,
I thought I was answering that quick, and it ended up taking 4 minutes.
Yeah, so hey.
But
you
it know, was a.
You want to hear me?
It was a very important 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So
come back next week, and you might hear about the judgmental kid who grew up in the church his whole life and then finally came to an epiphany at about the age 26.
here we go.
There you go.
But I do have a verse for us on Veterans Day.
Lay it on us.
Straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is an old carpenter who knew a few things. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Mm. To all our veterans, even if you didn't lay your life down, you risked it, and we thank you for it. We get to sit in here and be goofballs and have fun because of what you did and the sacrifices you've made, so we thank you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Good choice, and with that, boys, we're out of here.
Wah, wah.
Especially you, old vet. Hey.